Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by Kate Andrews and James Forsyth. So there was a period when the government's talking about relaxing lockdown measures, the idea that we could all go on holidays at various air bridges, that this week it feels as though the mood music has changed. Here's what Boris Johnson had to say earlier.
Let's be absolutely clear about what's happening in Europe, amongst some of our European friends. I'm afraid you are starting to see, in some places, the signs of a second wave of the pandemic. It's vital that when people are coming back from abroad, if they're coming back from a place where I'm afraid there is another outbreak, they must go into quarantine. And that's why we've taken the action that we have. And we will continue throughout the summer to take such action where it is necessary.
James, that's the Prime Minister suggesting that he is worried, or at least sees a risk of a second wave.
Yeah, in Europe. And the government message is now essentially, you know, travel at your own risk, make your own judgments about where you want to go. And I think the clear implicit indication from the government is that holidaying in the UK is a safer choice than trying to go overseas. And I think if you think back, it was only a few weeks ago now that Boris Johnson was talking about, you know, possibly ending all social distancing measures by November and us all having a fairly normal Christmas. The government language now is much more about how by this time next year we should be over it. April, March next year as a time frame for when normality might return.
Kate, the one aspect here is travel. You made it back just in time to avoid the 2-week quarantine from your Spanish break. Is ultimately what the government is trying to do here to say we're stopping the threat from outside so the threat from inside the UK doesn't become an issue?
When the Prime Minister talked about the virus potentially bubbling up in Europe today, he did it in the context of defending the government's decision to reinstate, in really a sledgehammer way, this 14-day quarantine for people returning from Spain to the UK. But I think it's quite telling that yesterday the Financial Times reported that on a conference call with at least a dozen businesses, the Prime Minister also warned of a second wave. Yes, they're thinking about the threat in terms of outsiders coming in with the virus, but they're also thinking about it in terms of it bubbling up, I'm sure, here in the UK as well. Thinking towards the autumn and the winter time, the UK has been a few weeks, sometimes even months behind Europe in coming out of lockdown, but they're seeing it starting to resurface in parts of Europe, and I'm sure they're wondering, what if that happens here too, regardless of what tourists are doing, regardless of our quarantines, what if it just starts resurfacing here as well?
I think that interestingly though, Kate was saying a few weeks behind in terms of easing up lockdown, I think there are lessons to learn from the way other European countries are happening. Germany is now just going to test everyone coming back from high risk areas. That seems to be a much more sensible policy, that kind of mass testing, than a 14 or possibly to be reduced to 10-day quarantine for everyone who comes back from these places. Because what one would expect that even coming back from relative coronavirus hotspots, the vast majority of people will not have the virus. So why not test everyone as they return at the airport?
I should say, when I was coming back from Spain, it was remarkable the difference between how Spain was treating the virus in airports versus the UK. When I arrived in Spain, there were temperature checks, medical professionals on site. When I came back into the UK, there were no temperature checks, just spot checks to see if you had filmed out a form that was very difficult to find online. And it suggested to me that, yes, maybe the government is a bit worried about infection rates in Spain. They're probably also worried about their ability to track and trace the virus once people come back to the UK.
James, you mentioned the testing in Germany. One of the things we've been hearing from the government in terms of this 10-day quarantine is this idea that the reason they could reduce it from 14 days to 10 days is that you would be tested, but they're saying to avoid any level of risk, it's not enough to be immediately tested and then go out into the world because it could take 5 days for the virus to show up in terms of a test.
I think this is all about a balance of risk. And I think if you test travellers coming back into the country and they test negative, the risk of them testing positive 5 days later is sufficiently low that you should be prepared to say, okay, you can go about your business from now on. I think one of the questions, which is, how do you get the economy moving again and try to prevent a second spike. I think it is going to be about balancing out risks. I think one of the other things that no one wants to say, but I know in some other European countries a big concern, is the return of schools in September. Now, the return of primary education is not regarded as a risk, but its secondary education is, I think, a problem. And I know that in some European countries, one of the reasons why they are so keen to basically try and prevent much tourism this summer is they think they're going to need to use a large chunk of their R budget on getting schools reopened. And so the idea is, if you do this, you might not have to close pubs to open schools, which is something that I think could become a live debate in September, which is, you know, right, we have to open schools because of educational and societal and economic harm that keeping them closed does, but what else are we going to have to close to do that? And I think one of the reasons some European countries, even those with kind of quite considerable tourism industries, are taking such a hard line on visitors from abroad is because they want to avoid getting caught in that dilemma.
Kate, what is the cost at the moment to the travel industry looking like in terms of the aftermath from the Spain decision? Because we're hearing that bookings for staycations, we can debate the definition of staycation another time, those booking holidays within the UK is going up drastically. People are potentially trying to cancel holidays abroad. I don't think people are about to book a holiday to Spain anytime soon. Meantime, you have British Airways staff protesting or, you know, taking action over what they see as redundancies to their jobs. So what is the fallout from this?
It's not great. As you say, there has been a slight boom in the UK for Brits wanting to go on holiday in Britain. However, the shares in airlines have fallen dramatically since the quick decision to reimpose the quarantine on travellers from Spain. Overall, it seemed to be a huge knock to the confidence of the travel industries and the airline industries that you are able to properly go about your business without the risk of the government coming in with some really big decision that changes the way that people are going to want to book into the future, because the future is so unknown, and also how they're going to want to travel. So it's painful. Interestingly, Capital Economics Today has done one of the first forecasts that I've seen trying to take into account what would happen if a second wave genuinely hit the UK come autumn. And we're not even sure yet if we're going to get this V-shaped recovery for travel, tourism, or any industry in the UK, although retail has been looking somewhat good. And they're now showing what is a very wonky W. And I think it just goes to remind us that there's still so much that's unknown. But another economic contraction like this could be absolutely devastating for businesses, especially in tourism and hospitality, that may have just by the skin of their teeth gotten through the first wave and now just don't know if people are going to book in, and they don't know if everything's going to get locked down again.
And James, we're talking about a second spike, you know, bubbling signs of this across Europe. Ultimately, in the UK, what are the government's best tools against this? Are we just looking at test and trace and local lockdowns and also the quarantine policy?
So I think you are looking at test and trace and local lockdowns. I think there is a problem with test and trace, which is without an app, as people begin to use public transport more and more, as people come to go to slightly crowded places more and more where they don't know everyone who's there, you're running into problems about how you follow up on that information when you find someone has tested positive. From August 1st, the guidance about using public transport changes. Now, I don't think that means that you're suddenly going to see packed commuter trains and packed buses and packed tubes, but it does raise an issue there. And then I think we come on to the kind of local lockdown question, which is, you know, how, and I think, again, the big question there is how effective and how quickly the local lockdowns act. Because I think if people have a sense that they're going to be, oh, lockdown for 2-3 weeks, that I think people can deal with. It's the same as if you suddenly someone in your household started exhibiting symptoms, you might be at home for 2 weeks. I think it's if people start to think that once a place has been locked down, it's locked down for months, that's when you're going to see people taking the kind of last train out of Dodge.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Kate. And thank you for listening.
Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.